So my study is called, can everybody hear me okay? My voice is not very loud. No? Any better? Yes? Okay. It's called Starting the Conversation. It's a childhood obesity knowledge project using an app. And my name is Hua Apple. And my colleague, Dr. Huan, is from University of Washington. She's a biostatistician. Dr. Cole is from the University School of Medicine. And so is Dr. James. And Dr. Rai is from, she's at Florida State right now. No financial disclosures. Learning objectives, there are three right there. The differences between the sample that I'm going to be talking about, there's two samples. One is the ones that use handwritten log to track 20 days worth of what they eat and if they have any physical activities. And the second objective is why disparities in childhood obesity exist in minority populations in the U.S. And then the third is you compare the differences between the two groups. Just briefly, a couple slides on background on childhood obesity. Pediatric obesity is, of course, a major public health concern. According to the CDC, the prevalence of obesity in children and adolescents in the U.S. have tripled since 1980, and that's in JAMA in 2012 there. By the way, this whole presentation, you can get it, and I will tell you at the very end. It's published, so so you don't have to be taking notes, authentically. Estimates from the NHANES studies, which is the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, shows that about 32% of the U.S. children and teens in 2008 were considered either overweight or obese, and that's the Ogden study in JAMA in 2012. And being obese or overweight can lead to greater risk for these guys in developing health and psychological problems, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, asthma, depression. The 2011 results of the Youth Behavioral Risk Survey in the U.S. indicated about 31% of the high school students actually play video or computer games during school days now for at least 3 or more hours per day during the previous month. And obese kids are more likely to become obese adults. Children from lower social economic status backgrounds may experience social and psychological difficulties. There is an association of childhood obesity with type 2 diabetes and is disproportionately seen in Hispanics, African Americans, and Native Americans adolescents. Ethnic minority children are at an increased risk for obesity. The same study I mentioned previously by Ogden showed that from the NHANES study, about 26% of white girls are considered overweight or obese, compared with 42% of the black girls and 39% Hispanic girls. So from the same NHANES studies, with boys, 30% white, 37% black, and 40% Hispanic boys considered overweight or obese. What are some reasons for disparities that exist in minority population with respect to childhood obesity? One, lack of neighborhood sidewalks, parks, safe places for them for recreation. Two, the oversized food portions, supersized everything in fast food. So these meals are enough to feed 2-3 people. The lack of access to healthy foods. Local stores can carry healthy food. Not all of them do, but the one that do, it may be pretty costly for the parents to purchase. And not all have money to join gyms to go exercise. The methods that I use is Snohomish County is about 30 miles north of Seattle in the state of Washington. Two school districts I drew the sample from, Marysville and Everett. Everett is the county seat. The whole population of Snohomish County is about 750,000. A large portion of the group is from the Minority Achievers Program, which is a program for students of color or financially disadvantaged. It's an after-school program at local YMCAs and schools. But it is open to anybody, the school, the study. The only requirements is they just have to attend public high school in Snohomish County. So like I said, a lot of them came from Marysville, Washington high schools, which we have 8. And they were recruited through flyers at the high schools, the YMCAs, the school staff, Facebook, texting, word of mouth. I think word of mouth is, I would say, the easiest. Once a couple of them signed up, it got around. The sample, so it's a pilot study with the funding from NIH. So it's our sample, we started out, our goal was for the budget was 100 students. It got pretty popular, and we had to stop at 118. The Tulalip tribes kicked in some money to go over 100. It started out with 421 students that signed up. The students filled out their consent forms. Out of those 421, they didn't get their parents to do it or forgot, and then they filled out a little pre-survey. So at the very end of the study, I had gathered 118 students, high school students, that completed the pre- and the post-surveys, the consent forms from both them and their parents, the 20-day log that they need to do, and they received a $20 gift card. And the log that they did was either using the cell phone app or log on to the computer for that site. It's loseit.com. In 2011, 2012, and I submitted the grant. That was the best site. It was. I chose that because it was free, and it was compatible with both Androids and iOS. So that was very important. And the data that when the kids use that, it goes directly to us in an Excel format. So this criteria alone, you know, that's why I used it. Okay. So the procedures, after they completed the consent forms for the parents and them, the pre-survey, which is one page with both sides, asked just demographics and little knowledge about physical activity, nutrition, and they have a choice to use a cell phone app. Not all of them. Remember, these students are Snohomish County, it varies. At the northern part, the Marysville, Tulalip Tribes area, 65% easily the two high schools with the Native American groups, 80% are on free and reduced lunch. So from the get-go, we knew that, you know, not everybody's going to have access to this app, but we wanted to give it a try. You know, that's why it's called a pilot project. It's an intervention. So that's what they had a chance to use the handwritten version for those who did not have the access to the app. And they got weekly reminders by text and emails and Facebook for them to complete the log from the very beginning. It was like every few days we bugged them, and then after that it was every week. And it was for 20 days. So we talked about that. We talked about the pretest, measuring the knowledge of their nutrition indicators, which is, you know, we ask them a simple question. Do you know how much water you need to have each day? You'll be amazed how many marked 10 ounce. So and the required servings of vegetables and fruits, just really basic questions that you think they would know the answers, but a lot of them did not. So that wasn't the pretest. Okay, and then we would measure the amount of physical activity. Some of the questions asked was, you know, how many minutes do you exercise a day? Are you in PE or do you have school sports? You know, all of that. And then we did the BMI for age percentage because, you know, boys and girls are different. I mean, the kids and teenagers, are, you can't measure it the same way as we do for the adults for the BMI. So you do a percentile. Which is what the pediatricians do when you go and, well, have kids. Anyways, so and then we looked at the use of screen time. You know, do you use 30 minutes of screen time per day? You know, an hour to 2 hours, and three. And screen time is just anything staring at a screen. Cell phone, handheld games, online games, watching TV. And then we gave them a post-test, which is very similar to the pretest. The only difference was a couple more questions at the end, what they thought about the study and, you know, what knowledge they have gained, if anything, comments and stuff like that. So this doesn't look very attractive. I just cut and paste from my thing, so bear with me there on that table one here. So with regard to ethnicity, you can see that the majority of them are students of color, about 65%. So Asians are 29%, blacks are 9% of the group, Latinos about 15%, Native Americans 6%, whites 35%, and mixed race was 6%. Females, out of the 118 students, were 75 or 64%, and the males were the remaining 36%. These kids were high school kids, so most of them were between 15, 16, and 17 age group, but it ranged from 14 to 19 years old. Table one there also shows about 35% are 10th graders. And the females, it's interesting, it's about 64% for the whole sample, and in the app group, in the handwritten group, it's about the same. So table two shows the baseline BMI, or the body mass index, the physical activity, the knowledge of what they know about food intake, and gathering data on their screen time use for both the app and the handwritten group. So you can see there's difference there, a significant difference in terms of the BMI in the pretest group. So table two is just the pretest. The next table will show the post between the experimental app group and the handwritten group. And the app group had lower average BMI and lower proportion of obese participants than the handwritten group. And we asked them their height. We assigned them a number, so it's anonymous on the survey. So we had height and weight for the BMI. And there's no significant difference in terms of physical activity level, screen time, and nutritional knowledge. Remember, this is just a 20-day. It is not a weight loss project. Table three there shows the post-test of the same weight, nutritional related variables of the whole group, the app group, and the handwritten group. So the app groups, the average BMI was also lower than the handwritten group. A little surprising, so you think, you know, they use the app, they're sitting there all the day doing screen time or playing with their phone, but the BMI turned out to be a little bit lower than those handwritten group people. Except for knowledge about how much water they should drink, the relationship between the two groups did not change much from pre to post survey. However, there were three participants in the group. They each lost about 3 to 4 pounds. You know, like I said, it was not a weight loss thing, but these guys, they, it was a way for them to gather knowledge to watch what they eat, even though we were just merely asking them just to do a log, you know, just what you eat, and if you do any physical activity, and that's it. And, you know, in 20 days, three of those kids actually lost some weight, so which was really nice. So, table four shows the pair t-test results for the pre and post groups in the weight nutrition-related variables of the whole group sample, again, in the app group and the handwritten group. The BMI didn't change over time for the whole group or the two groups separately. It was a self-selected study, so I didn't anticipate a whole bunch of people are going to have BMI greater than 95th percentile, which is considered obese. So we had only 6 students in that category. 29 students were involved in some sort of school sports or PE, was taking PE during that time. The knowledge that they had of vegetables that they need to eat didn't change over the whole sample, but I was happy to find out that the water knowledge, you know, how much water they need to drink, varied from pre to post. So in the handwritten group, you know, it started out 49% new, so the knowledge increased to 77% post-survey. And in the app group, it started out with 64% in pre and 92% had that knowledge post-survey. There was, don't peek, okay, hold on, okay. So there was a trend towards the screen time in the handwritten group, but it didn't reach statistical significance. The student daily logs, the results showed about 33% of the students used the app on their phone, 5% used the computer to log on to use that free app, and the rest was handwritten. So we ask them in the post, was, you know, why didn't you use the app? 46% responded saying they just preferred handwriting. They just carried around with them in their backpack. So that was easier for them. And 43% said that their cell phone didn't have the capability to access the app. So remember, this is in 2012. I'm sure the number will be increased by now. And 24% just did not have a computer easily accessible. A lot of them didn't have a computer in their homes, believe it or not. So they would use the computer either at the YMCA or at school to do this, or the handwritten. Okay. Now we go to that screen. Okay, so discussion. So the using the free app did motivate students to be more aware of what they eat and to exercise. So that was one of the aims of the study, so we accomplished that. From pre and post survey, the participants had an increased knowledge in their nutritional factors and physical activity knowledge, contributing to obesity. For the app group, the use of the screen time did decrease a little bit. This pilot study demonstrated the feasibility and acceptability of self-monitoring to improve physical activity and nutritional intake in adolescents. The project provided students in public schools to record and be aware of physical activities, nutrition, and what they eat daily. It's amazing when you either do the handwritten log or use the cell phone app just to actually do that, which I did before the study started. I did both on the iPhone and on the Android just to make sure I can do it too and record what I eat. But it was just amazing when you do that log, you see what you eat and how many calories you take in, what kind of physical activities you do, and that I think it's a great intervention. Future research, we would like to focus on specific ethnic subgroups and intervention at the school levels with those BMI greater or equal to the 95th percentile. These kids spend a lot of their time at school, and the school is a great great place to provide safe and supportive environments for them with good practices that support healthy behaviors. Limitations, self-select participants. So they just sign up. Nobody told them it's voluntary. Not all students have smartphones at that time. Dropout rates were, you know, we started out with 421 that expressed great interest, but they couldn't keep up. They changed their mind, whatever. We got away with 118 was the total, which I thought was pretty good for a pilot. And it was unclear whether these students dropped out would have responded by app or by using handwritten responses better because, you know, they didn't have select from the method from the very beginning, which method yet. And the two groups, they were not matched based on physical activity, nutrition, or screen time. So this could be a limiting factor. Some similar characteristics in each group can result in more measurable change that we could have seen in this study. Okay, so there's the reference that you can go online and look up, or just look up my first and last name and then childhood obesity. You can Google that and you can get the NIH study there, or the PubMed Central ID is there. And there's the grant information from NIH to the University of Washington, and there's my contact info. So I'm happy to take questions at the end.